Welcome, everyone. It's WSQF 94.5. You hear the background here. Just chaos from the west. I'm about to show my radio show.
Can I call you in 1 hour?
Because I'm getting ready to be on the radio. And my co-host, who thinks that this is like Nintendo here on WSQF 94.5, he's sitting there acting like a freaking shrink to Jews who finally realize, oh no, these jerk-offs I've been voting for the longest freaking time has turned on Israel.
That guy,
he wants to leave Newsom's California, and he wants Newsom to stop the protests in LA, and he feels threatened. And yes, what? Newsom is okay with it. Like all Democrats, they're allies.
Hey.
You know where he goes? Right up the orifices. That's where it goes. Right up. You know what? I'm so tired of you guys failing at governing.
And
people pointing to me with they can't figure out the obvious. They're sitting here in my studio and they ask you, where do I plug this? Like if it goes up my, you know what? And they just want to look. You know, they don't care. You know, they don't care about anything. You know, and I'm sitting here watching Lou, who's dying to speak now. And you know when they tell me, hey, we're doing radio today, and he gives me a Mork and Mindy nano nano. What is nano nano? That means no.
I gave them the.
Jesus!
I gave him an icon for the Vulcan.
What a dweeb, man! Spock, whoa!
The Vulcan hand greeting.
Wow!
I thought that you realized that meant yes.
Yeah, I thought you'd realize. I don't realize anything. All I know is that Democrats in Israel are buddies at the polling booth.
So that
and
was
now they're all running scared.
That was a Jewish friend of mine in Hollywood. Who has always
Hollywoke is what I understood it to be.
Hollywoke, and he's always been one, you know, conservative, and he's always been he's still in the closet of being a conservative in Hollywood.
Yeah, see, that's why he feels like he has to leave now because he didn't speak up. How come I don't feel like I have to leave? Yeah, why? Because
right.
I feel like I have to fight on.
That's actually a good point.
Because I have to fight on. That's why.
But what little work he got, I mean, you know, as a producer of children's entertainment,
yeah.
He wouldn't have gotten had he come out. I mean, that's the pact that these guys. That's the deal that these guys.
Yeah. Made. So you sell your soul, basically.
You sell your soul. Yes.
Yes. And you didn't realize that for a while until you left.
But I was always.
So I asked him.
I was always outspoken.
I'm overhearing the conversation mistakenly because you know.
No,
what
it's
the
interesting.
Hell? And I asked him.
He's really scared.
Lou, this guy might be his boyfriend for all I know because he
you
treated him with kid gloves. They're both like they say they like their women, but they bond like geeks. So I ask him, why don't you ask him, how come he didn't speak up and tell his damn-ass Jews why they keep on voting for the other side?
I was
he wouldn't, and this guy wouldn't ask him either because he's a wuss, too.
I was going to explain that he was in the he's in the entertainment business, which is 99% far left and crazy. And you know, and you can't get work with Spielberg or Disney or any of those guys.
What is that Spielberg Hebrew not realize they're attacking Israel?
And he's helping Biden.
Yeah, and he's supporting and raising money for Joe Liar, the crooked Joe.
He's helping him with his campaign.
And Biden won here in Key Biscayne too. What does that say about you guys? All you Latin freakazoids who escape socialism and then you vote for it here.
Mm-hmm.
And notice that all the problems we have today, all of them that have to do with the Middle East and Israel and foreign wars, happen every single time. We react to wars when Democrats are president. You get accused of starting wars when Republicans are president, but I only know one case where we actually started a war. All the other ones, we reacted to war. We reacted to Korea. We reacted to World War II. Let me do it in order. We reacted to World War II under a Democratic president. We reacted to Korea under a Republican president, which was Eisenhower. We reacted to Vietnam under somewhat Kennedy and Johnson. We reacted to the missile crisis under Kennedy. We reacted to the war in Serbia under Clinton. We reacted to the first war in the Ukraine by Barack Obama's invisible line. We reacted to all the chaos that the PLO created in Israel, and we're reacting to it today under Biden. Why are we always reacting under Democrats? Why, why? Why is that? Why is it that we're always reacting? Why? Because you guys are a bunch of Mongols, every one of you.
Why are we always on defense? Yeah, well, I think that's changing, actually.
It's not changing. It's getting worse.
No, we're
on defense on college campuses right now as we speak.
No, but college campus is already occupied. It's already enemy territory.
They occupied Wall Street, and then they burned the Summer of Love. It's been going on for a while now.
Courtesy of Obama bin Biden. But even that came out of the colleges, you know? You have the external...
I wonder what was the real root cause of the peace movement during Vietnam. Was it really peace, or was it anti-war?
I think it was an anti-war movement, not a peace movement. It was send me to Vietnam movement. You know?
Oh, in other words, that's your answer then. See, Lou, every once in a while he thinks clearly. Now the rain is gone. Lou, get me out of Vietnam, Lou. Because, there's the truth. It wasn't a peace movement. It wasn't an anti-war movement. It was an anti-draft movement.
Save my ass movement.
Yeah, save my ass movement. See what I mean?
And out of that, they literally flowered it up, you know.
Wow, and it was the worst time in American history that we're still living today.
No, this is much worse than this.
No, but it has to start somewhere.
The difference.
We used to love and respect government, except for... the 60s generation who decided to hate government, and we've been hating government ever since.
The government, those guys were against government back then. Now they're with the government. We're the hippies. We're the counter-revolutionaries.
Your hair is kind of short for a hippie.
Yeah, we are. Not them.
And you guys know that during Woodstock, the biggest pandemic was actually going on in American society at that time. There was no masks or nothing.
I don't remember.
And where everybody was partying at Woodstock, and there was a disease, not a disease, a pandemic going on.
What was it?
And
I don't remember that.
It wasn't called COVID. Let's call it COVID-9 instead of COVID-19.
Okay.
And you asked the question too quickly because since I know it to be true, I have to Google it. To make sure that I can say what it is, because you asked the question too fast.
I don't think that's quite right.
Yeah, sure.
I know that Woodstock itself was very unsanitary, but nobody else was.
Okay, all right. Let's see here. What should I be my catchphrase here? Pandemic, demic, during Woodstock. And if you want to call in to give me a better suggestion, don't worry about it because I'm not interested. Okay, so. And the winner is going Google. Then I do DuckDuckGo. It's part of the process here. The 1968 flu pandemic during Woodstock and influenza. So, to show you how sophisticated Lou thinks he is, there's my IQ again, running three circles around the guy. You know why? Because he came in here acting like a shrink, talking to his Hollywoke folks who now realize, oh my God, being Jewish is a pain in the ass in Hollywood. Think about how much you guys suck. And he had the audacity to think that I'm going to say something on the air that I'm not very sure about. Nice. I might get 68 and 69 wrong, like 1968 flu pandemic. When was Woodstock?
But flu pandemics happened all the time.
Yeah, but in the middle of a loving marriage.
That was only one location.
Uh-huh, sure. I'm telling you, if people really cared about the flu pandemic, they would have never gathered at Woodstock.
Well, I don't think our listeners care about the flu pandemic at Woodstock.
In 1968, all they cared about was smoking and joining and taking the pill. That's another thing that happened at the same time as the anti-war movement.
Well,
the contraceptive pill.
There's a lot to talk about today, so let's just get through my article and we'll...
See what a shrill he is? Yeah, let's get through my stuff first because, after all, I'm feeling for my friend who doesn't like Newsom, and he wanted Newsom to break up the L.A. campus riot when they're his allies.
I know.
Those are his people.
That was pretty dumb.
Biden's people, too. Those freakazoids.
I can't believe Newsom isn't interfering.
What do you... Of course you believe. He's one of you. He's one of them.
Oh, my God.
God!
That was silly people.
Dude, the Summer of Love was the same group of people. They're paid guns. to play commie who don't know what communism is. They can't do any of the things they do in the United States. They can't do it in other countries.
If you're a conservative in Hollywood and you're hiding as he
is, how about those gays and lesbians out there? Try to do that in Palestine. See what happens to you.
And you're expecting Gavin Newsom to come to your rescue? You're in a bad way.
Wow. Holy moly. He wants you to feel rescued for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
He's going to send you some kind of check. I wonder if Biden, if it occurs to him to rescind the student loans for everybody who was at those protests.
Of course he's not going to.
Yeah, it's the answer.
But Trump would.
He would double down. Hey, thank you for joining the riot and tearing down Columbia. Here, this is for your graduate program, free.
Trump would.
I don't think he'll do anything about it once he gets in there. Will he rescind that executive order? There's some other executive orders he's got to rescind because Biden rescinded all of his. I don't know what Donald Trump, second term. I don't know what's going to become of that, because if he doesn't do something really great, like great, 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 that only I can show him what great looks like, if he doesn't want to do what I'm suggesting he do, that lasts.
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking my meeting with Donald Trump.
Oh, okay. Well, listen.
Because I know what he wants to talk about. I don't want to talk about my article.
We have a lot to talk about today.
That's not true. You only want to talk about your article.
No, we have a lot to talk about, but let's get through it.
Do we have to? I mean, yeah. Is someone like yanking your chain over there at the American Spectator? Hey, you better put on us first because, you know, come on, Lou.
Yeah.
And why don't you tell these Bobos, who there's got to be a few that write better than you, we'll showcase the articles if they give us, you know, a promo.
And all the people.
Why don't they toot our horn? Why don't you get Megyn Kelly to say something about me, the most handsome fat guy on the radio?
And by sheer
Rush Limbaugh's gone. I'm here to replace him.
By sheer coincidence, all the people that write better than me are on the American Spectator, which you should subscribe to, spectator.org. And it's a real, especially in an election year, it's a very important time to be.
To be what?
To know how to write. To know what's going on, my friend.
To know what's going on, or just to not have typos.
Right. Well.
Believe me, I wrote a 390-page book.
Oh, God.
And I printed it out to see it in book form, so I put it in a spiral binder. And I'm into my second publisher already. And I paid handsomely to have the first publisher and the second one. And they suck! They suck copywriting. They suck editing. They suck.
They're not publishers.
Huh?
You're self-publishing.
Okay, but they give me a cute name at the bottom that says something books.
Yeah, it's not.
But they suck. Yeah. And they take thousands of dollars from me.
And I'll tell you something about about my book, which is coming out in the fall from Athon Books, and it's excellent.
And it's not self-published. What makes the difference between what you're going through and I'm going through, which is, are you saying that they solicited you to publish the book?
Yeah.
Or are you like me, who just shopped around and got a deal?
I shopped around and I got a deal. I mean,
well, that's the same as me. So why are you lying to my audience like that?
You can.
You're self-published too.
You didn't get a deal. You have no deal.
Oh, so in other words, they pay you up front to write.
Right. You have no deal. You're self-publishing. Anybody can get anything published, okay?
Okay. So you're saying that so when I ask you the question, you don't answer it, and then I have to pull it out of you.
A legitimate book company.
Okay, will give you money to start writing.
Right. That's very particular and prestigious about what they
put out. Don't say that, because they're publishing you. I'm asking, did they write you a check or not?
Yes.
Okay, and then they say, start writing, or they read your manuscript and said,
we're going to publish this one, we're going to pay for this one, and we're going to contract you for two more books in the series.
There we go, that's the freaking answer.
Which I didn't even know I was going to write a series, but now I am, by contract.
Look, is this Holly Wolk or what?
No, this is New York.
World War True.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Just a quick word from our sponsor.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
After suffering through civil war last week, with its total absence of narrative competence, logic, and any believable humanity, it was strangely refreshing to revisit World War II and its real-life British heroes in two new works of fiction. Too many people don't realize that the now politically misled and culturally beset UK, which couldn't even manage to Brexit when its people overwhelmingly voted for it, was a mere 80 years ago the homeland of magnificent men worthy of St. Crispin's Day. No doubt Henry V's Shakespearean speech inspired a good number of them, if very few of their present-day successors. And gentlemen in England now abed, shall think themselves accursed they were not here, and hold their manhood cheap whiles any speaks, that fought with us upon St. Crispin's Day. The novel, Burma Road, by Brandon Crocker, and Guy Ritchie's new film, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, do justice to the British commandos of both the Pacific and European theatres of war. Speaking of their successors, Crocker's protagonist is the grandson of one fictionalized hero who gets inspired by his ancestor's memoir about the brutal Burma Road campaign. Phoenix, Arizona insurance salesman Clint Bennett returns from his grandfather's funeral affected by his modest inheritance, Henry Bennett's unpublished manuscript. The work, via Crocker's fine writing, describes Henry's ordeal with the Chindits, the long-range raiding force of the British Army of India, behind Japanese lines in 1943. After several sabotage acts, the Chindits attempted a daring return to India hunted by the Japanese army. Of the 3,000 officers and men who went into Burma, only 2,182 came back. Crocker deftly captures both their ordeal and British stiff upper lip courage. Menzies had also been shot in the stomach, but was still alive. He made a short report on what had occurred to Colonel Wheeler, gave the colonel his watch with instructions to send it along to his family, and then requested a lethal dose of morphine, which was granted. Read more from Lou Aguilar, The Forgotten Art of Cinema. The increasingly engrossed Clint tells his wife Deborah that publishers had rejected Henry's manuscript, declaring World War II memoirs a dime a dozen. A dime a dozen, Clint says. It's got to be a lot more interesting than anything I've ever done in my life, or will actually ever do in my life. Clint's admission, though of little interest to the screen addicts of his generation today, becomes the main theme of the story, nothing less than the meaning of modern life. Clint compares his grandfather's dangerous yet noble experience to his own safe, staid existence. Having read about Henry's unit taking shelter at an unknown ancient temple deep in the Burmese jungle, Clint obsesses on finding it. Against Deborah's opposition, he joins an Asian history professor, Paul Milner, on an expedition to the possible site in now Myanmar. During the long trans-Pacific flight, the two discuss the pros and cons of presentism versus historic immorality. Professor Milner puts it in perspective. It would take quite a bit of hubris to think that somehow we are created as superior human beings and that we'd have behaved better. We're more evolved in our thinking today because we've built on the experience of those who came before us. The whole discussion may not be particularly brilliant, but is Algonquin Round Table level compared to anything in Civil War or any other contemporary movie. In the Myanmarese jungle, Bennett, Milner, and their ex-Thai Special Forces colleague Som Chai encounter a less formidable enemy than the Japanese army, yet no less lethal, drug runners and anti-government separatists. After locating the ancient temple, the explorers have to survive their own adventure on the Burma Road. Author Crocker expertly depicts the settings, perils, and actions the men, past and present, must experience to escape alive. Which makes Burma Road a nice book to enjoy in the snake-free comfort of your own environment. More Second World War heroics inspired by actual history can be viewed in Guy Ritchie's latest picture, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. Ritchie is by now a comforting 30-year master of the screen trade who's forgotten more than the current crop of filmmaking punks know. He may not make a masterpiece, but he'll never make a piece of vacuous junk on the level of Civil War. So odds are the movie will be pretty clever a la Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch, Sherlock Holmes, The Man from UNCLE, and The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. Ritchie's film is a fast comic book take on a true commando unit, based on the book, Churchill's Secret Warriors, the explosive true story of the Special Forces Desperados of World War II by Damian Lewis. Winston Churchill himself helped found the Special Operations Executive, a unit of real brass-defying misfits cohered into an effective military force. The movie depicts their attempt to sabotage Germany's deadly U-2 pipeline by sinking their supply ships off the coast of North Africa. The cast is uniformly good, led by the always excellent Henry Cavill, who because of Hollywoke imbecility is no longer Superman and won't be James Bond. The latter fact is a blessing in disguise since Barbara Broccoli and company have no idea what to do with a charming, virile lead, and would kill him off quicker than asexual mope Daniel Craig. But Cavill shone as Napoleon Solo in Ritchie's underrated The Man from UNCLE and does here as team leader Gus March Phillips. Ironically and entertainingly, Bond creator Ian Fleming is a character in the new film. Read more, Laughter in the Court. The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare could have been a great war picture, but the now requisite lightning pace, violence, and toxic feminism undermine it. A little less video game killing with a bit more introspection would have humanized the characters. And the forced girlboss element is especially irritating here because Aiza Gonzalez does a fine job as the sexy team seductress. Then, as if to make up for this, they make her a better shot than the best marksman in an army, which is ridiculous. And she of course rescues herself from the villain in a truly pathetic cheat. It's still a fun, suspenseful movie which, together with Brandon Crocker's Burma Road, will reward a return visit to World War II.
So Guy Lewis is...
Guy Ritchie.
It's Guy Ritchie. Not Lionel, Lionel Ritchie's brother? No.
No.
Different skin tone, right?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't heard his name since, you know, hanging out with Madonna, and I haven't heard Lionel Richie since the last time I was in love. So so you can see how far apart these things are. Now, in this particular article, AI did not do you any justice.
No,
because
no.
It jumps around like, you know, it jumps around. It doesn't give you context. You were flowing from different scenarios and war and peace and movies that represent war and peace in this world of ours. You kind of do it in that fashion.
In fact, there was a quote
in your prose, but the AI doesn't do you justice because I felt very confused.
And after that, I have to do Shakespeare justice, okay? Because the AI completely
butchered it.
One of the greatest speeches in the English language, and there's just a little excerpt from it, which I'll do. I'm not Richard Burton, but I'll do it better than the AI, and you guys should hear this. And the setup is that Henry V is trying to rouse his soldiers against France overwhelming odds against the English. There's very few English. The entire French, they're in France, and they're going to do a battle the next day, and everybody is naturally scared. So Henry V gives this amazing speech to rouse the troops, and it ends with this. And gentlemen in England, today is St. Crispin's Day. He realized that the day is St. Crispin's Day, that the civilization was very Christian at that time, of course. He says, and gentlemen in England, now abed, shall think themselves accursed they were not here, and hold their manhood cheap while any speaks that fought with us upon St. Crispin's Day. What he's saying is, those who weren't in this battle for the rest of their lives will be weenies. Will not.
Yeah, they'll be cowards for not showing up here.
Well, no, not cowards. No, they can't. I mean, they're not there. They'll just feel that they're incomplete. You know, that they're incomplete. That they're not real men because they weren't part of this. This is where the famous phrase, "We few." We happy few, this band of brothers. And all that comes from that one beautiful, magnificent speech. And I had to do it because the AI...
But the audience is saying, who won?
The British win.
They did win. Yeah. So the speech actually meant something.
Yeah,
you missed that part. Yeah. You need Holly Woke Me. Holly Woke Mac. Yeah. Mac Holly Woke Mac to complete the whole trifecta. Jesus.
And in fact, if I may... Let me read the speech, because this is what we conservatives and Republicans have to do.
Speak for yourself, man. I think I'm the only conservative here, all right? Jeez.
So with your permission.
Oh, that sounds so conservative. Okay. You have the floor.
All right. Give me a second to find it.
Oh, so look at him.
All right.
Check him out. He does the same thing he does to me.
This is it.
We can't have silence on the radio, man. You just forced me to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. Everybody's already pissed off that we're here, and they were listening to rock and roll. They were doing just fine. And all of a sudden, we come and blast from the past.
But again,
Blink Radio.
One of the greatest speeches in all of literature. And here we go. This is Henry V. His men are, they think they're not going to make it. The next day, they're going to get wiped out by the French.
No one's got a gun, right?
No guns.
No guns.
This is the 1300s.
Yeah.
1400s.
Yeah, no guns. Okay.
This day is called the Feast of St. Crispin. He that outlives this day and comes safe home will stand a tiptoe when the day is named. Got that? You'll stand a tiptoe. As soon as you hear the day is named, you'll stand up a little taller. And rouse him at the name of Crispian. He that shall live this day and see old age will yearly on the vigil feast his neighbors and say, tomorrow is St. Crispian. Then will he strip his sleeve and show his scars and say, these wounds I had on St. Crispian's day. Old men forget, ye all shall be forgot, but he'll remember with advantages what feats he did that day. Then shall our names, familiar in his mouth as household words, Harry the King, Bedford and Fexter, Warwick and Talbot, Salisbury and Gloucester, be in the flowing cups freshly remembered. This story shall be good men teach his son, and Crispin Crispin shall ne'er go by from this day to the end of the world, but we in it shall be remembered. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers, for he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother, be he ne'er so vile. This day shall gentle his condition, and gentlemen in England now abed shall think themselves accursed they were not here, and hold their manhood cheap while any speaks that fought with us upon St. Crispian's day.
A fighting men, they have full 80,000.
That's 5-1. Besides, they are all fresh.
It is a fearful odds.
Oh, that we now had here but 10,000 of those men in England that do no work today.
What's he that wishes so? My cousin Westmoreland? No, my fair cousin. If we are marked to die, we are enough to do our country loss. And if to live, the fewer men, the greater share of honor. God's will, I pray thee, wish not one man more. Brother, proclaim it, Westmoreland, through my host, that he which hath no stomach to this fight, let him depart. His passport shall be made, and crowns for convoy put into his purse. We would not die in that man's company that fears his fellowship to die with us. This day is called the Feast of Crispian. He that outlives this day and comes safe home will stand a tiptoe when this day is named and rouse him at the name of Crispian. He that shall see this day and live old age will yearly on the vigil feast his neighbors and say, tomorrow is St. Crispin's. Then will he strip his sleeve and show his scars and say, these wounds I had on Crispin's day. Old men forget, yet all shall be forgot, but he'll remember with advantages what feats he did that day. Then shall our names, familiar in their mouths as household words, Harry the King, Bedford and Exeter, Warwick and Talbot, Salisbury and Gloucester, be in their flowing cups freshly remembered. This story shall the good man teach his son, and Crispin Crispian shall ne'er go by from this day to the ending of the world, but we in it shall be remembered. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers, for he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother. Be he ne'er so vile, this day shall gentle his condition. And gentlemen in England, now abed, shall think themselves accursed they were not here, and hold their manhoods cheap, whilst any speaks that fought with us upon St. Crispin's Day!
Does that sound much better than the lisp? Lou's Lisp.
I should have just let you do that and saved and spared.
I saved the radio show.
And spared you guys.
Okay, who was that actor? He was good.
That was Kenneth Branagh from the film, Henry V. It's wonderful.
Very well done. And see, what gave me perspective is that Henry V was a young man who was actually standing in the battlefield.
Yeah, no, he was a king. He was there.
He was the king, and he was there.
It was.
That's good that the audience knows that, because I didn't. I assumed it was like a dictum.
Nope.
From above, you know.
And they won, and they took it, and they it's one of the incredible battles.
Now, do you know what they were fighting over, other than land? Just land, like always.
Yeah, just the politics.
Just someone slept with someone.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone slept with someone's chick.
Exactly.
How dare they?
There was an affront.
Yes, ladies. You not only are you to decide the election in modern times, you were deciding wars in the medieval times
and life and death. But that speech is one too good to remember as we go up against the forces of darkness and evil.
And then Shakespeare came and revisited it, or
He put it in his future plays. It's one of his history plays of kings going way back.
For the audience's sake and for mine, how many years go by between Henry V
and Shakespeare's time?
Yeah.
Oh, very. Okay.
100 years, 150 years?
Like 200.
200 years, wow. So it really was in, kind of an immortal. It's an immortal speech by then.
But at that time, and that's why I started talking about England, which is a sad, you know. Okay, so yeah, Henry V lived from 14 to 13. No, he was king from 1413 to 1422.
Okay.
Shakespeare lived in the 1630s.
Oh, wow, so you're right.
Right.
Yeah, so that's the beauty of intellect.
And the beauty of European history, that you have, you know, a royal seat going, you know, across hundreds and hundreds of years, you know.
Absolutely.
And
you have some kings that come to power so young,
right,
that they're immortal in their reign. You know, decades go by and they're still king.
That is Judeo-Christian Western civilization, and that, this is a good segue, that is what the protesters hate more than anything. The whole Gaza thing means nothing to them. It's an anti-West, anti-white,
anti-God.
Anti-God, anti-Judeo-Christian affront by them, and that is what they hate. The Israelis are just the fall guys.
Now, always the punchline. What provokes you, the American voter, to keep on voting for this morass of intellect, sorrow, political lies, theft, graft, welfare, failure at every point? What provokes you to keep on voting for people who cannot govern?
The answer is very simple. Where are these protests taking place?
In blue states.
No. Where?
Hello? You want me to name all the states?
No. Where? What kind of establishment? What kind of...
This guy's giving me trick questions.
No, it's
that
not
I
true
can't
question.
Answer.
The question is...
I said blue states. No, where?
No, why? No.
Oh, New York. I'm going to... Oh,
no,
so I should name them.
No.
New York.
And what,
New York.
And
New
what?
York. Then L.A.
Please.
And then... And
stop.
Then,
stop it.
And then UNC.
In what environment are these protests taking place?
Oh, in what environment?
What is the setting?
It's called Pinkleness.
It's college, academia.
Oh, my Lord.
That's where... And
how
that's,
Bush League question was
and
that?
And that's where it's coming from. Why do people vote like that? They're pouring out these idiots by the factory.
And why are they idiots?
Because they're ignorant. They're indoctrinated, not educated.
You suffer from the same idiocy.
No.
It's called the multiple choice exam.
It's left wing and it's communist indoctrination.
Hey, that's who put in the left wing.
We know that
the multiple choice. So I taught him that, and now he acts like he knew that.
So there's thousands and thousands. They're pouring out, and they're in CNN and then, you know, and the whole media.
The education world became a trivial pursuit competition,
right,
as a result of the multiple choice exam.
So that they're like. Everything is rotted to the core, like our cities, like the cities they run. Everything they touch has been destroyed.
How would Trump say that? I got a vulgarity button, so go ahead and
Trump,
say it.
Trump wouldn't say it as well. In fact, I'm...
Everything they touch turns to ships.
In fact, I'm very disappointed. I mean, Trump never had a facility with the language.
Don't ever say never had. He did have.
Not...
He's not... you know, 20 years old anymore.
Right.
He's not 30 years old anymore.
Right.
40 or 50.
But
he's 70.
But the understanding of the deep roots.
Don't confuse that with, right, you know, my empathy for Joe Biden's mumbling, bumbling,
however,
bunch of pack of lies.
However, I'm going to vote for him. I'm going to rise, you know.
You realize the problem we're in?
And
he thinks Trump's coming over for dinner. They all think that.
But
they all give these stupid caveats.
No.
Who are you to tell him how to do this when he's shattering the glass ceiling?
Trump is.
He's making all the glass land on people who can't govern.
Trump is as far from Henry V as you can possibly.
And he's also far from being a conservative. But he's still shattering the
stuff.
He's driving the left nuts.
He is handed golf balls and he's not. I mean, softballs and he is not hitting them.
Well, you know what he's got in between his legs? Golf balls, okay?
Yeah.
Because that guy is resilient.
There's no question about
it. It's amazing that he can stay alive.
There's no question about
Does he even have his blood pressure go up? I just recently saw him tired for the first time. He looked exhausted. Like he'd stayed up all night reading documents or something because he looked terrible at the courthouse. He looked exhausted. And then I wake up in the morning and I go to one of those Pinko Nation sites that I go to. And the bunch of trolls there. On Twitter and on Instagram, and they like the Occupy Democrats thread say, Trump is caught falling asleep. He wasn't caught, Momo. Wouldn't you fall asleep, kangaroo? I mean, wouldn't you, kangaroo? Come on.
He gave two rallies today. I mean, that's,
yes, and I listened to one of them live, the one in Wisconsin. The second one's going on right now as we speak, but. It's hilarious. Someone give me a pen. I want to, you know, I got to sign this hat for Uncle Sam here. Uncle Sam gives him a hat. And he's asking for a pen. So someone throws him a pen. And it falls to the ground because I guess he's told not to catch stuff being thrown to him.
Right,
who knows what they are,
right?
So he bends over and grabs the pen and goes, "How you think Joe could have done that?" It was great. You think Joe could have done that?
but see, that's the problem.
That's not a problem. It's brilliant. Never in history has anybody thought that you could run this way.
That is. However, what Biden, he says the Biden protest, which is brilliant, He calls them the Biden protest. He says, but, and he can't stop it because he can't put two words together. He goes, no. He can't stop it because he wants it,
Yeah, he does.
And that's what he had to say, and he couldn't.
It's yes and no, because all the stuff he reacts to, I don't think he really has any type of.
You can't present.
I don't think they're really. There's no game plan to this guy.
Right.
He was put there, literally put there. He didn't really campaign there. He just sat in his house, and they told him, don't worry about it, dude. You're going to be president. We've done everything to make this impossible for this guy to win. We sicked him with COVID. We sicked him with drop boxes. We extended his election days. We had the Supreme Court telling, election officials in Pennsylvania specifically, the hell with the Constitution of Pennsylvania, one of the oldest constitutions we have. We can say that you can have extended election day when it clearly states it has to be the legislature.
But if you elect,
we're doing everything.
And if you elect the other guy, it's the end of democracy when everything they've done.
So let me worry. Just stay in your basement. Shut the hell up.
Right.
And you'll have a couple rallies where cars will show up instead of people. And don't worry about it. We got this handled. And then they do a study. And I go to some other freakazoid left site, or always in the early morning with my two coffees at hand and my thumbs ready to go. I'm not saying that I don't typo. I do. I'm accused of being a drunk, a drunk poster because I work off my cell phone. I'm not at the desktop. I'm actually in my cell phone, And so, therefore, I make mistakes, grammatical errors. I try to go back to fix them, but... sometimes I lose my point. But one lady's giving us a survey study of a finding that basically claims in her mind, this is how politically bipolar she is. She claims in her mind, and she articulates this in her podcast, she claims in her mind that the study discovered how uneducated the voters are because they're only voting for one candidate. They're not voting down ballot. And I say, what an idiot. Hello? That is a stuffed ballot. Nobody just votes for one person and leaves the voting booth. Everybody votes, even if they're voting or not, even if they vote for the name they like the most. I know here in Miami, when their judge is up, I know the Latins are voting for the Gonzalez over the Smith. That's just that simple. If you don't know who to vote for, and there's a Cardozo, a Perez, a Smith, and a Loghorn, chances are you're going to vote for the Spanish name. If you're uninformed, like a circuit court judge where you know anybody. But you still vote. So I post to her, darling, you can censor me if you wish, but what the study is showing, how many millions of stuffed ballots they were. How many ballots were for Joe Biden and no one else? And a day later, I don't agree with you. Well, guess what? Can you elaborate, please, why you disagree with me? Because the study was of professionals. Oh, like the professional prosecutors prosecuting Trump at this moment in time, you 10 years after the fact, late into Biden's presidency, so it has a courtroom climax during the middle of the campaign. Please. The question is, always on this show, between now and Election Day, this is a pivotal moment in female voting history. Very similar to your first right to vote, and you blew it. In your first right to vote, you voted for prohibition. The second most pivotal vote is right now. It's happening today. Will you vote abortion, or will you vote to save the country? Or are you going to allow these statists, people, to continue to win this election and not give us, in the process, 60 senators so we don't have to listen to the other side for, I don't know, can we ask for a filibuster-proof Senate 11 times like the Democrats had in the 1900s? Hello, we're in the 21st century.
All right. So how are we looking? We're looking...
Now, you see how Lou got jealous because he realized that stuff he didn't know?
We're looking pretty good. And it's...
Why? What makes you think that?
Well, okay, what's not going to happen, and there was some talk about it because Trump and...
We still have drop boxes in a lot of ghettos.
Trump and DeSantis met recently, and I know there will never be a Trump-DeSantis ticket because it would be... You know, it would just be too good to be true.
You know what the moment in time is calls for?
What?
I shouldn't say is, but it is the moment in time. And unfortunately, I'll never be proven correct. But this is the time, because of his short term, this is the time for an education of the American people to save us from our own kids who are turning on us by their behavior. Okay? I mean, looking down at their phone, they don't have the faintest idea what we did to them. And guess what? They're going to be blameless when they get to our age because they're going to be in food lines. But today, I proclaim here on Blink Radio 94.5 FM live stream WSQF radio.com worldwide that Trump Cruz presidential ticket. Ted Cruz, vice president, doing all the talking, and Donald Trump doing all the hard decision making. Leave Ted Cruz to run for another 8 years and really turn the access of this country. Trump Cruz 2024.
Where did you pull that one out of?
Well, the truth is the IQ is so high that it probably came from my pillowcase. Well, but the truth is that unlikely to happen only because...
Yeah, it would be too good.
I believe that Ted wants to be senator, and he wants to be his own guy and all that.
No,
but if he's given the vice presidency, I think that's his ticket to the presidency because it'll be a George Bush, Ronald Reagan kind of situation.
He would take it.
The problem is that he's smarter than you.
I love Ted Cruz.
He's smarter than everybody in the room.
He's smarter.
And this country hates smart people.
Right, and he has...
Yet they love Elon Musk, but he's not born here.
Right.
You know what I mean? They love the wizardry of Elon Musk, but for everybody who loves him, there's got to be like three who hate Elon Musk.
Now there is.
So with Cruz, it's got to be five
yeah.
who hate the guy. But he's smart. He's a smart, and not only is he smart, I've been around the guy. I know incredibly hilarious he is, and I know that he's a wonderful person to be around in terms of He doesn't look down at you. He doesn't think he's cool as all hell. He's not a drinker either, just like Trump. There's no alcohol in the White House. And, you know, he'll never have a drink in his hand. He comes from similar stock that I come from. Correct. In terms of, we have Cuban descendancy.
Yeah.
He understands communism thick and thin. His mother is American, and he was born, I believe, in Calgary. So he's like McCain and Romney that were, you know.
He's nothing like those two.
Well, in the sense that he was born abroad, right, to American parents.
Yeah.
So they get it. Plus, he was a champion of second place, which I'm very fond of because I'm a champion of second place. He came in second in national debate often.
But
I think he won it once, but he lost the majority of the times.
But DeSantis would be better.
See? See what I mean?
And DeSantis,
is that Holly Woke or what?
Yeah, and
the guy proved he's not better because he didn't get any votes in the primary. Calling him better.
We know who it's not going to be now.
Cruz came in second place, my friend.
We know who it's not.
At the height of Trump's blah, 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 blah.
We know who it's not going to be now.
Well, it's not going to be Nikki Haley.
It won't be. No.
Jeez.
It won't be another woman either.
Huh? It could be the girl from Huckabee, yeah. It could be her.
It won't be the dog killer.
They notice how the left went after her fast.
So did the right.
Well, the question is there video now of her treating her dog?
No, it happened 20 years ago.
Okay, see? That's like Romney's dog on top of his roof on a turnpike.
No, it's not at all. She put it in her book. She bragged about it.
That she shot her dog because he barked too loud or what?
No, he attacked chickens and she was training him as a hunting dog. The dog was a she. But she was just 14 months old. And, I don't want to even talk about it.
I'm glad you informed me. Sometimes you show me there's hope for you.
And she shot and she...
So that means that you read and I didn't.
I mean, at this point, she's lost the VP bid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If she killed her dog, she's finished.
It was a self-inflicted wound. Self-inflicted wound.
You got to be careful. If you're planning a life in politics, be careful.
You got to.
Well, no, that's not true because Obama bin Biden called himself the Sandman in his book, and no one figured that one out. A man with no substance, nowhere to dig his heels in because he's in the sand. And if you name yourself the Sandman, that you're sandbagging the entire United States. And we voted for him twice. Boy, the Black Lives Matter or what?
Well,
please.
So that leads...
Black on black crime, number one. Murder rate among blacks is black on black, and yet they call themselves Black Lives Matter. Hello, folks. If you're black and all your blacks are killing each other, you guys are admitting that your lives don't matter.
So Vivek is still on the list, and so is Byron Donald.
Byron Donald is a goomer.
Now.
Vivek is corny as all hell.
Now.
I would like to see Vivek somewhere, but not in any official capacity in terms of... No, I'll accept him for Department of Commerce. Something like that so he can talk. Byron Donaldson, I don't want to see him anywhere near the White House.
Why?
Because I think he's just fine there in the House of Representatives.
Yeah, no, he'll be great. He'd be a great... Okay, so J.D.
Vance, I think it's too early for him. Mm-hmm. I would like to see Vance as a senator because he's in a sticky part of town where the left can win easily in Ohio.
Yeah, maybe not so easy anymore.
I like... I think I would hold my reservations about Vance until I read his book, Hillbilly Effigy, right?
Hillbilly Elegy.
Elegy. Why did they say effigy? That could be a problem. I think if I read his book, I would change my mind. But there's a certain poise that we haven't seen in the presidency in a long time. I mean, high intellect. Someone who could really tell the American people what it's all about. And even though Reagan didn't have the high intellect, boy, did he have the high intellectual speech writers, because
No, you're wrong.
And they would teach.
You're totally wrong. He did have the intellect, and he wrote, and books have come out of his letters and his essays that show that he was the guy, not his writers. He was the guy.
You sound like, you know.
Yeah, that speech... The speech that made him, from Goldwater.
Look, man, I know better because I shook his hand.
1964, that was all him. He had no speech writers for that one.
Yeah, but he, at the same time, he was a Dixiecrat.
Yeah.
And he evolved. Same with Trump. They were Democrats who became Republicans. All the great Republicans are ex-Democrats.
What about the CNN poll saying that 55% of Americans view Trump's presidency as a success? 55%, while 44% see it as a failure.
You know why?
Wait. Biden, 61% see it as a failure. Those figures are lethal. Lethal.
Okay. If they're so lethal.
This is a CNN poll, by the way.
Yeah. So if they are lethal, what does that actually mean? That
it means you're going to have to do a lot of cheating to win.
Yes. Good answer. So Trump was right today when he said, come on, guys, let's make it a landslide.
Yeah.
Let's overwhelm these people.
Absolutely.
Don't make it 50-50 where they win 51-49. Come on, man.
Absolutely.
And remember, RFK. He can easily fool us to 15-16%.
By the way, did you see him at Trump in with the construction workers in New York?
They love him.
My God.
Imagine he wins New York.
My God. And in the bodega?
If he wins New York, boy, that could be a landslide.
If anybody sees that,
because that means all of Boston, that means all of Philadelphia.
Everything they've been saying, the picture they've been painting of Trump, and there he is. He just walks out and completely dispels it. It's an amazing thing.
You know who else is famous of dispelling things?
Who?
Fidel Castro. Wow. Oh, God. Remember how he used to go right in the middle of the riots in Havana and just, cámanse, váyanse a su casa, tranquilízanse, todo va a estar mejor mañana.
But
they would leave.
I pray, you know, that you know, there's been so much ugliness in the past five years, because...
Well, you can't get anything uglier than the crescendo, which is October the 7th. That's as ugly as human...
That's
modern day.
And yet look what's happening. You know, look at these kids. Look at... I never...
You know what our audience should know? I'm going to connect this dot for you. And I haven't heard it anywhere but Blink Radio.
Mm-hmm.
What was going on in Israel at the time that this was festering? We were a divided nation with the Biden-Trump fiasco, January the 6th.
Rebuilding Iran.
That happens a little bit later once Biden takes office, goes to office. The chaos, of course, in Ukraine divides our country even more. All of a sudden, the left is pro-war, and we're anti-war. Figure that one out. We've always been
anti-war.
And then the point is this. Israel was deeply divided.
Yeah.
Between Netanyahu
and the lefties.
And they win.
Yeah.
And he stands aside and didn't last for too long. And what happens when great nations are divided? The enemy stalks. And that's what America has to understand. You continue with this disgusting display of liberalism that has not worked. It hasn't worked at the government of the federal level, state level, and county level, and to some point at the municipal level.
How much time do we have?
I have enough time to allow you to rant for, like, I don't know, 5 minutes. I don't think you can do it unless you pull out Shakespeare.
Well, actually, that's probably the best backhanded compliment
I've
However,
blink once, I said it, blink twice, you missed it.
I have to do some research on this, but Trump apparently said, courageously, that there's this anti-white movement in America. That took balls. That took guts to say.
Could you say on the radio testicles?
Testicles. That took testicles.
Balls is okay, too.
So play for us Whoopi Goldberg's response to that on The View.
You think that's cool?
Yeah.
So, and while I look for this, you were supposed to like script this to me so that I already have it on cue, but no, instead you just think I got a magic wand or something. How long ago was this comment?
Because
today he said, so it'd be Whoopi's balls, do I put, or what? I put Whoopi's.
Anti-white.
Whoopi anti-white. Here we go. Whoopi anti-white. What, rhetoric or comments or?
That would respond. Okay. Hey, the host Whoopi Goldberg enraged by Trump's comment.
Whoopi Goldberg angers white viewers for saying no such thing as anti-white. Here we go.
All right. But the fact that Trump went there is amazing. Amazing.
Symphony Thompson. Every few months, Whoopi Goldberg seems to rile up the mainstream media with comments that some deem controversial. The same thing that happened this past Tuesday on The View when the comedian criticized Donald Trump, stating that there's an anti-white feeling in America right now. Trump's comments came from an interview in Time magazine stating his plans for the upcoming 2024 election. Among those promises, according to Goldberg on The View, include having states monitor a woman's pregnancy, deploying the military to deport migrants, and potentially considering to pardon the January 6th rioters. In the interview, Trump would say, "They're against Catholics. They're against a lot of different people. I think there's a definite anti-white feeling in this country, and that can't be allowed either."
You know, sir.
No, sir.
Yeah, sir. Nobody in your family was hung. Nobody in your family was chased because of the color of their skin. There's no anti-white issue here. You are perpetrating anti-humanist issues here. So the question is he the future?
From there, the co-host of The View discussed the real-life ramification that can come from Trump's rhetoric and also talked about the possibility of Trump being voted president-elect this upcoming November. Now, of course, those who support the right didn't like what Whoopi had to say and let their frustrations be known on social media.
So, that goes on and on and on and
on.
Yeah,
but first, okay, let's discuss what just happened. For a major politician, in fact, the number one leading politician, to actually say that, he couldn't have said that 2 years ago. I mean, even Trump, he would have been canceled. He was already canceled, you know, 3 years ago.
I think you believe he's got enough black vote already that he went ahead and said it.
I just think it's time for unifying the country away from this race hustling that has been going on, you know, at warp speed over the last 5 years. You know, Obama started it. You know,
no, what's his name did?
Obama.
No, man, the ghetto guy. He ran for president a couple times.
Oh, you're talking about Jesse Jackson.
He was more formidable, but no, the other, the white trash now that's, that was a terrible pun. Not the white trash. Oh, what's his name? The guy burned down his nonprofit thing, I don't know how many times. Oh my God, he's not censored, he's never got elected, but.
A black guy?
Yeah, he's.
Al Sharpton.
Al Sharpton.
Yeah, Al Sharpton, yeah.
Thank you for saving me. Al Shakespeare.
But okay, so he couldn't have said that, and actually say that, look, and you got to be very careful because the left controls everything.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah, and they'll get
everything
you,
media,
and
everything communication.
And they'll get you on the racist stuff. You know,
whether, I haven't shot my dog, don't look at me like
whether
that.
Whether you're racist or not. And Trump went there, for which he deserves a lot of credit, and the whoopies of the world are out screaming and shrieking, and I believe, Mac, that this is going to be the way it's going to be for the rest of the campaign.
Speaking of shooting my dog, I got my girlfriend here. Can you say something to the crowd?
She's licking Manny's.
She's licking the microphone. Yeah. Come on, not licking me. I'm gonna have PETA after me. Jesus.
Anyway, this was a wonderful. Thanks for listening, you guys. You were all great.
Is that corny or what? Is that a drape the mic moment or what?
Yeah.
Okay, so one thing that he does, and we gotta fix this for the next show. You either gotta take a bath or a shower before, but you do a lot of scratching there. That's kind of neurotic.
You're talking about your dog.
Yeah, I'm talking about you.
Me.
You scratching yourself. I mean,
I'm not scratching myself.
Are you bathing before you come here? You need to take a bath or something, man. Right. I mean, come on. I mean, I don't know if I'm disgusted or excited, but anyway, I'm going to leave you with Matt Walsh. Here we go.
And 94% were people of color. Walsh considers this a ban on hiring whites.
At least since 2020, and probably much earlier, the largest corporations in this country have openly discriminated against white people solely on the basis of skin color. We're not talking about a quote-unquote holistic discrimination. We're talking about a de facto near total ban on hiring white people. The numbers by themselves are shocking, like hard to believe. In 2021, the largest public companies in the United States, meaning the companies in the S&P 100, they hired collectively 300,000 people in that year. Of those 300,000 people, only 6% of them were white. A total of 94% of them were so-called people of color, meaning blacks, Hispanics, and so on.
In addition to Whoopi Goldberg, D.L. Hughley is another comedian well-versed in politics who speaks out on these kind of issues. He will also remain vocal on social media.
If you like our programming on WSQF 94.5 in Key Biscayne, you can also hear us very far away nationwide, WSQFradio.com. And if you like our audio files and our subject matter, subscribe to YouTube, Mac on the Rock Rampage. Take care and stay free.